Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. Let's see here. Sorry, I have an alarm going off on the back of my phone. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the chapter, We Agnostics. We're on page 54, go all the way to the bottom, the third paragraph, last paragraph. It begins with, "Hence we saw that reason isn't everything." It trickles over onto the next page, ending with, "People who proved that man could never fly." We're just going to comment on that one paragraph today. So today's readers are Team Wednesday. We have Sarah G., Kelly H., Tamara C., Maura Z., Sally A., Sima M., Ken W. H., and that's going to be our team today. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, July 28th, 2026, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard edition, it's 23,672. That's 23672. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard edition, it's 23,673. Here's our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose here. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah G. to read the 12 steps. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Sarah G. from New York. Grateful to be here. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
I will now ask Kelly H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning from Western North Carolina. This is Kelly H. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Sarah G. and Kelly H., for reading the steps and the traditions with us this morning. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics. We're at the Big Book at the very bottom of page 54, the third paragraph. I'm now going to ask Tamara C. to begin reading.
Thank you, Jen. This is Tamara C. Grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. The text says, hence we saw that reason isn't everything. Neither is reason, as most of us use it, entirely dependable, although it emanates from our best minds. What about people who proved that man could never fly? So, my reason isn't everything. My reason isn't entirely dependable. I was trying to think of, like, where do I want to start? What does this paragraph mean to me? So, I thought, well, let me just look up what is reason. And I found the definition. It's the power of the mind to think and understand logically and emanate, and it comes from a source, and the source is my mind. And I was thinking, well, is it like I can never trust my mind? I'm never supposed to use my mind. I don't think I have a higher power who wants me to just say what's next, and then not even think, not make decisions. So I think that steps 2 and 11 partner together. So I looked at step 11 for some direction, and I see that, you know, starting on page 86, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance when I ask my higher power to divorce my thinking from self-pity, from dishonest or self-seeking motives, and then my thinking is on a higher plane, and that's inspiration. So this chapter has been making a point for faith, and, you know, am I willing to be guided by a higher power who can give me inspiration, who shows me guidance, and give me everything I need to follow that guidance? And so all day I get to ask for direction, and then I'm not burning up energy trying to arrange life to suit myself. So I thought, you know, what's an example of me using my reason in a self-reliance way, thinking I'm alone, I have to figure this out. It all depends on Tamara's ability to depend on my reason. And then I get messages like, Tamara, push yourself harder, be more efficient, summon more self-discipline. And my motives are, you know, get control and rest satisfaction out of life by managing well. And the results are I'm foolishly burning up that energy and I'm exhausted and it's never enough and I'm never satisfied. But when I'm leaning into faith, into the higher power's voice of inspiration, then the messages are might be like, Tamara, enjoy the task at hand and just be in the moment and listen to your inner self saying, I need to rest or I want some fun. And then my motives are, you know, intuition and direction, flow with it and trust it. And the result is I get to experience the satisfaction I was trying to force, but I never could. And this allows me to drop that rigid self-reliance and accept help from a power outside of myself. I pass.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Tamara C., for getting us started this morning. And let's see here. We do value everyone's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience too. And so if you'd like to share on what was read today, please give me your first name and then also the first initial of your last name.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
I got Lisa C. Lisa N. I got Lisa C.
Rick J.
Rick J.
Rifki R.
Rifki R. All right, let's go ahead and get started with those folks, and then we'll take another lineup after that. Let me tell you who I heard. I heard Lisa N., Lisa C., Rick J., and Rifki R. If everybody will press star 1 and mute your phones, then we'll have Lisa N. unmute. Go right ahead, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, Jen. This is Lisa in Recovered in Georgia. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. So when I think of this paragraph, I like the definition of reason. When I think of reason, I mean, we've been talking about the word reason for a little while now. I try to think of like when I used to reason with my kids, you know, and when they were little, I mean, what's coming to me is like when they were little, like they accepted that, you know, they were like, yeah. And then as they've gotten older, they've used their own brains. They're, you know, 18 and 19 now. And they've learned to reason themselves. But I get what I'm trying to say is to reasoning used to work on my illness. I mean, like there was a point when I could. And then I think, you know, the longer the deeper I got into, you know, the progression, reasoning wouldn't work anymore. But then the other thing that came to me was a jump of faith, you know, like at some point I had to trust that somebody else had an answer for me, you know? And so I took the hand of a recovered fellow. There was no more reasoning. I mean, I was beaten, you know, there was just nothing left but to trust this person who was recovered and seemed like they had an answer. And just to jump in, it's all I had left. Anyways, I don't know if any of that made sense, but that's what's coming to me. So I will pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Georgia. Up next, we have Lisa C. Good morning, Lisa, and where are you calling from today?
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm recovered for today. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. And what a great little paragraph here, and amazing opening share. I really, really loved what was said about this paragraph, because for me, like, what I see here is just the way that I was a worshiper, you know, just a worshiper of reason, and really believed that it was going to save me. And this just made me think a bit about how worshiping the God of reason fails me, because not everything has an answer. And, you know, even science and all of its best efforts, like, there are things that are not explained. And so, you know, theories are developed. And if we look over the trajectory of history and the passage of time, you know, theories are often debunked. They're disproved. They're improved upon. They're altered. They're changed. These things are not, they're not fixed. And I think that, like, when I'm really tangled up in thought, you know, and the power of the mind and thinking, there's always someone smarter than me. There's always some book I haven't read. There's some, you know, great teacher I haven't studied from yet. And there's a way that I have to continue to prove my worth. There's more and more and more, but the more in this case, just leads to endless work. And it's a way that I kind of create a situation in which I can never really measure up. I can never really read enough books. I'll never read all the books that are out there. I can't really think enough. You know, there's always someone who's got, like, who can, you know, make those computations come more quickly and make things make sense more quickly. And it's just more, more, more. And that really starts to sound like an addiction, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, we often refer to this as the disease of more, or at least I've heard people say that, and I sometimes say it too. So it's like, on the flip side, you know, the kind of more that we get with faith and belief in a higher power as opposed to the God of reason is, you know, like for me, it really relieved me of the anxiety. It took me off the hamster wheel, and I gains more clarity and peace, and that ability to kind of radically let go of shame and regret, remorse and anger and fear. You know, that's one of the biggest character defects that I face. And I really think that ultimately, like, you know, the program being one of service to others, this is really powerful, because that connection and bonding with people and showing up, the gratification that comes from that, it doesn't leave me with a craving for more the way that the disease does, or the way that worshiping thinking and reason does. It leaves me with a sense of peace and calm, and a desire, a genuine desire in my heart to reach out and connect with others again, because every connection brings something new. It's not the same as a transactional relationship where I give and I get in these sort of somewhat equal proportions. It's really that I have an endless amount to give, because it doesn't come from me. It comes from the source. And because of that, I never end up feeling depleted and like I need to, think my way or work my way or prove my way into or out of something. And that's really such a relief and such a beautiful way to live. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Yep, next we have Rick J. followed by Rifki R.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jen. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Jen. So, hence we saw that reason isn't everything. You know, this whole chapter, we agnostics, you know, it's the one section of the big book. It's the one step being referred to that isn't called out by name. You know, we now had arrived at step two. we are now on the second step. You know, every other step is called out except for step two. And we agnostics, it mentions the words or arrangement of words to each other at least 9 times. Power greater than ourselves. And it's really this chapter, Bill in his writing is trying to, you know, convince us that if we are truly powerless and our life is unmanageable, we need to come to believe in a power greater than ourselves. And, you know, and he knew that there was a lot of people out there that would be like, no, we're getting close to the God word. We can't go there. He's just trying so hard to give examples where we don't know everything, and yet it can be a reality despite us not believing in it or seeing how on any way possible it could be possible. You know, I was thinking about if I had grown up, you know, with a group of people on an island, right? And I had never gotten off the island and nobody had ever come to the island. And my whole perspective of the world was from the beach on this island. I would look out and I would see, you know, a flat expanse of ocean with nothing there. And in my mind, it would be reasonable for me to believe that the only thing here is this flat expanse of ocean. And then somebody, you know, comes and says, oh, hey, wow, you've grown up on this island. We're on the bottom side of this world. And I'm like, what? The bottom? What do you mean? And, you know, it would be like somebody trying to explain that the earth is actually round and we're held in place by gravity and we are part of a solar system and a galaxy and the universe. It would be too much for me. And yet it's a reality. And so what I really try to do now is just come to believe in something that I don't have to understand. It's okay. I don't have to understand it, but I can come to believe that you believe and that it's working for you. And I can see the change of transformation in you, that this power that you're connected to, how it's transformed you. And I can come to believe in that and then have my own experience and my own journey and just open my mind a little bit and not slam it shut, you know, which is my factory default setting. Is no, that can't be. But then I can see your experience. And that's why it's so important for us to carry this message to others. Once we are recovered, we know our own reality. And we were just like that person, possibly, that we are in front of talking to. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick J. from North Carolina. Up next, we have Rifki R. Rifki, before you get on to share, give me just a moment. Let's tell everybody where we're at. We're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We agnostics. Go to the very bottom of the page, page 54, that third paragraph. Starts with, hence we saw that reason isn't everything. And we're reading through to people who proved that man could never fly. And we're just commenting on that one paragraph. So we'll take Rifki R next, and then I'll take another list of names after that. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Rifki R from New Jersey. So grateful to be here, and thank you to everyone doing service today and every day to make this meeting possible. Not sure exactly what I'm going to share. There was an opening, and I would jump in. The reason is makes me think, you know, about my own mind, and I thought, you know, I had a good head on my shoulders, and I can figure things out on my own. I understand myself, and I understand other people, and I can I could understand the ways of God. Or maybe I thought I even knew better than him how things should work, or how, you know, what should be happening in my life, and how other people should be acting. my best thinking got me to got me deep into this disease, got me to over 300 pounds and a pretty miserable existence. That was me trying to figure everything out on my own, with my own thinking. Thank God God put, this idea into my head that I should come to Overeaters Anonymous. And, and find, the hope and the recovery and the faith that I found here to, like I said before, it says in the big book to divorce my thinking from self-pity and all that. And to see that, to see his plan, and I thought that where I was the worst place, but that was part of God's plan, get me down there to bring me up, to bring me to recovery, and to recognize him more in this world and in my life, and I'm so grateful, and that'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thanks so much, Rivki R. from New Jersey. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another list of names. We do value everyone's experience and those who are on the line. We ask that you limit your share to every third day, so share the air so others can be heard as well. Who else would like to share on this paragraph that was read today?
Dorita P.
Okay, so I heard Dorita. Yeah, I heard Dorita P. And then somebody from New Jersey. Is it Gail?
Yeah, Gail M. Yes. Thank you.
Gail M. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Yvette L.
Oops, that was two people at the same time. Try again.
Yvette L.
I think it was Joe L.
Daryl L.
Oh, Cheryl. Cheryl.
L.
Okay. Oh, and Yvette L. Thank you. Okay, we got it. Cheryl L. And Yvette.
Reva.
Okay.
P.
Reva, thank you. Anybody else? We got Gail, Dorita, Cheryl, and Yvette, and Reva.
I think I
Maria.
Sorry, could you say that again?
Mary F.
Thanks, Mary. All right, well, let's go ahead with that group. Gail M, Dorita P, Cheryl, Yvette, Reva, and Mary. Make sure you give me the first initial of your last name. Tell everyone on the line where you're calling from today so they can find you on the member list. And Gail M., go right ahead.
Hi, everybody. Gail M. from Jersey, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. Let's see. Thank you all for your service and for being on the line. I'm just claiming my seat, guys. I really don't like sharing, even though I have a big mouth, but I know I have to do it like every third day. Otherwise, I won't do it at all. Okay, so reason. And the food was not dependable at all, my reason. And today I'm listening to this big book guide on how to live. Like I said, just claiming my seat. Day 22, working step 4 with my sponsor. Thank you all. Pass.
Thank you so much, Gail M. from New Jersey. Up next, we have Dorita P. Dorita, go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. And so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Hence we saw that reason isn't everything. I took a class in college, and I'm not going to say the name of the class, but the class was about reason. In fact, I think that was the whole basis or preface or whatever of the class. And I don't even think, I know, I didn't finish the class, I don't think. I think I dropped the class. It wasn't mandatory, and I dropped it. Because it was, to me, it was a bunch of hogwash. And I'm just really grateful that I have this power to help me. And I have this faith in this power. Because not only do I believe in God, but I have to also believe that, like the seed, God could and would if he were sought. So just believing that there's something out there is not enough for me. I have to believe, I have to depend on this power, and all of that. But reason was my God. You know, it was my God. I thought my thinking was the best thinking. Or if it wasn't my thinking, it was maybe a professional person's, you know, anybody else. I thought it was a human being. But I come to learn that, no, it's not a human being. Who I can depend on. And I know that because I tried. I tried human beings. And they failed me. I failed myself. So I was just talking earlier that Overeaters Anonymous was the last house on the block. So if Overeaters Anonymous was the last house on the block, that means there's nothing else for me. So if I'm not succeeding in Overeaters Anonymous, then I need to look into that. And right now, what I'm doing is redoubling my efforts, recommitting myself. Because for me, I know this is it. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dorita P. from Ohio. Up next, we have Cheryl. Cheryl, where are you calling from today? And what's the first initial of your last name?
Yeah, good morning. Morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Really grateful to be back on the meeting again. Missed a few days. Yeah, I love this. I love this paragraph, and I love the discussion about faith and reason. You know, in this paragraph, we're talking about reason specifically, that it isn't everything. And I really like the part that says that it's not entirely dependable. My reasoning definitely was flawed. At the very end of my eating, I was the very end of my abstinence the first time. You know, the thought that I had, this is my reasoning, Cheryl, you like eating healthy. You've been doing it for 7 years. You're going to continue to do that. You're just going to have a little bit more freedom. You need some space. You know, this is my flawed thinking. But I was looking at, you know, the landscape of my life, what I had going on, and my reasoning was, I'm too overwhelmed. I can't do this all, and something's got to go. And the something that had to go was Overeaters Anonymous, because it was a shallow relationship at that point. It was on the surface. You know, the things that I'm going to invest myself in are the things that mean a lot to me. And now we get into the, you know, the thing about the feelings is, what is it that feels right? Earlier, you know, in 2024, when I came back, actually after I came back, I'm reading, you know, these paragraphs, and I'm saying, yes, I have the capacity for faith today. Am I nurturing that capacity, or am I nurturing my brain? You know, back before I came into this program, I was nurturing my brain. I was feeding it all kinds of information. I was going for my third college degree, and that's where I was invested. And yeah, all through my life, I spent a lot of time telling people what I thought they should do, because my, you know, my reasoning was, you know, I know, and so you should know too, and I'm going to tell you. And guess what? It doesn't really work like that. You know, deep down within each and every one of us is that fundamental idea of God. We're going to read that. And for me, I needed to seize on to that versus seizing on to my mental capacity and my my ability to think, because my best thinking got me here. You know, today I try to live with God, and I try to live with my with a full understanding of who and what my God is to me, and what His will is for me in my life today. And I know that His will for me is to be happy, to be joyous, to be free of the food, you know, because that's what I worshiped for a long, long time. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl L. from Florida. Up next, we have Yvette. Yvette, what's the first initial of your last name? Where are you calling from today?
Good morning. My name's Yvette L., and I'm calling from Connecticut, and I'm recovered today, gratefully. Yeah, I love this chapter of the book. I love how it challenges me to continue to grow. You know, I understand today that, you know, I do have a mind. I was given a mind by, you know, being a human. But I have to understand that I have little R reasoning and not the capital R reasoning of this power. You know, my understanding, my belief is that this intelligence, capital I intelligence, is able to help all of us. There's 8 billion people on this planet, and, you know, I think this power is able to help all of us with everything, you know, without a sticky note or a spreadsheet. And some days I can't even make it out of the house without forgetting something. So I do have a brain, and, you know, with this power guiding my life today, I'm able to use my brain in a, you know, a much more useful way. You know, I've been in these rooms since 1992. Gratefully, when I walked into that first meeting on July 4th, I knew I was in the right place, and I just never left. You know, I am stubborn, man. I'm stubborn as, you know what, but this power, this intelligence, this reasoning is, you know, way more powerful than I am. So I just try to cooperate with the power today rather than resist it and fight it, because I just make things harder. You know, this intelligence has guided me to a much simpler life, and I'm just so grateful. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Yvette L. from Connecticut. Up next, we have Reva P. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Mary F.
Good morning.
Oh, sorry. Mary? Yes, I have you after Reva. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sure. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Reva, then Mary. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I really wanted to share on the couple of paragraphs that are coming up. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't usually do this, but as I'm looking at this paragraph, something really struck me. So I look at this word hence, like I came to some kind of a conclusion. Hence, Reva, you're binging your brains out every night. You can't stop. Your life is like Groundhog Day, telling myself with my best thinking how I'm going to be different. And it ends up being the same thing every day. And I end up in what I now know as the bedevilment. And I just can't live anymore. And I don't know how to live anymore. And I've come to the end of myself. So hence, the disease, when it came to the food, in my experience, this was not an intellectual activity. Hey, I think I'll go to Overeaters Anonymous. It was like, I had come to the end of myself, my solutions, my best thinking. And I had nothing else. And when it came to the mental obsession, which I didn't know at the time the words for that, but when it came to that, reason wasn't helping. And so I came here, you know, in spite of being in a hospital program where somebody looked at me straight in the eye and said, oh, Overeaters Anonymous, I tried that. That doesn't work. You know what? I was desperate. It was the only thing left. But what about the agnosticism in pockets of my life where I still don't think, I don't think it's going to work out. I start trying to figure out, manage, and control. And you know what I do? I prove. I do it. I, unless I do the inventory, I don't realize I'm doing it, but I actually can prove and find evidence that things are wrong, people don't know what they're doing, life isn't right, God doesn't know what he's doing. I can do it myself. That it'll never work. Never. I love that word, never. That's the disease. So where do I have, and it's a little bit over the paragraph, that spiritual liberation is being willing to believe that I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know if, but my way is not working way beyond areas of the food, in relationships and all kinds of things. When I get to that point, I become willing to believe maybe, just maybe, I can have this liberation, this flight, this freedom from bondage in all these other areas of life, just like the other people I see around me who are recovered. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Up next, we have Mary S. Good morning, Mary. Where are you calling from today, please?
Good morning. This is Mary S., recovering compulsive overeater, calling from Virginia. And may I say I'm sorry to Reba and for coming in on her time. I'm still maneuvering the whole unmuting part and when to unmute. But
no
anyway,
worries. Glad you're here, Mary.
Thank you. But the line that really sticks out to me here is, as everyone pretty much has shared, is that reason is not entirely dependable. And for me, as I look at my life, the only thing that makes sense to my reasoning ability is looking at it through the lens of being a compulsive overeater and seeing the difference between my reasoning when I was in denial and my reasoning since surrendering to my higher power. I really thought I knew it all. My reasoning was really very ego-supporting. You know, it wasn't used for really even my own betterment or for the betterment of others, but more to inflate myself as better than others or less than others or however, whatever information I was taking in. But when I think of relationships, when I think of my life before program, my reasoning led me to a very small place because I didn't interact with the world. I thought I knew everything as a compulsive overeater, and the disease showed itself in my reasoning. So the only thing that helps me to reason with a spark of the divine, really, truly, is to come and surrender everything to my higher power. And that's, thank God, is what I'm doing today. And I'm so grateful for it because it takes on, my reasoning takes on a whole different aspect. It doesn't elevate my ego anymore because I see it as a spark of the divine. It stops my isolation. It curtails my my wanting to judge. My reasoning with the cooperation and the surrender to my higher power really is very amenable to living a healthy life. And I am so, so grateful for that. There is a distinct difference in what I did with my reasoning in my denial and how my reasoning affects my life today when guided by my higher power. So I'm very, very grateful to be in this program. And I'm very grateful that today I don't have to know it all. You know, if I'm having trouble with something, I can just bring it to my higher power. And the reasoning that I receive there is the reasoning that I am so grateful to live my life with, because it helps me and it also helps those I encounter daily. So thank you. Yes, thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Mary. All right, we still have time on the clock for people to share. Let me tell you where we're at. Page 54, go all the way to the bottom. That very last paragraph, the third paragraph that starts with, hence, we saw that reason isn't everything. We're reading through that one paragraph ending with people who proved that man could never fly. So we have some time left before the end of the hour. If you'd like to share, press star one. Hi, Natalie.
Nancy R.
Abby D.
Natalie. Ramona.
Nancy R.
And Nancy.
Abby D.
Abby. Okay. Awesome. Let's start with Natalie. Natalie, go right ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, this is Natalie S. in Indiana. I'm a compulsive overeater, working every day to recover. And what this paragraph reminded me of as I was listening to the shares, which thank you for everyone's, is when I was 13, I remember, or not 13, I would say 15, a sophomore in high school, my best reasoning found me in the library. I was a straight-A student, you know, always seeking perfection, working on, had to have everything, had to be on the varsity teams and all of that. But I remember one time when I decided that I didn't trust what people were telling me, and so I was going to figure out how many calories I really needed. And it was when I first embarked on this idea that I could manage and control my weight. And I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I remember vividly sitting in the library figuring out that everybody had been lying to me, and that my reason told me I needed without exercise 300 calories a day to survive. And I did that. And now I didn't, you know, fortunately God kept me safe, but I was insane. How could I play on a soccer team, do my studies, still continue to grow at 15 years of age as a young woman, and do that? I don't know, but I was convinced, and nobody was going to convince me otherwise, as this paragraph says. And I'm grateful because throughout my life, I'm 57 now, what I've discovered is that thinking comes up, but through this program, I know that's just not the truth. But I still want to believe it. So with the steps help me, and this paragraph reminds me that even in my best intention and with my own mind, I can't trust it. I have to be open and willing to learn a new way of thinking, considering things differently. And for me, that's trusting and relying on a higher power. And I'm grateful that God sustained my life to the place where I could have five healthy children. And I can trust in that power just because he let me go to a certain length, but he hasn't killed me yet. But I need to surrender every day. And so with that, I will pass, and thank you.
Thanks, Natalie S. from Indiana. Up next, oh no, I can't even read my handwriting. Is it Ramona?
Yes.
Oh, so. Thank you. Oh, I was writing so fast and furious. It's like chicken scratch. Ramona, what's the first initial of your last name? Where are you calling from today?
Ramona A., and I'm in Vermont. I'm a recovered composer. And very grateful, and thank you, everyone, for being there today. So I have to say I truly, truly am grateful that the Wright brothers kept going with their, you know, their idea, believing in their idea, because there's nothing nicer than flying over Vermont in the fall, and or because my son lives in Australia, that I can actually fly there in a couple days and see him. So that's a miracle. But in my own sense of self-reliance, which I always depended on, you know, that's what I need to do. I need to have self-reliance. And I didn't think of it like that. I just said, well, I can do everything, anything that I need to do, which, of course, is not true. And I did that and did that to my body, up and down and up and down and up and down, and weight gains and diets and everything else for years. And finally, you know, I think my best reason was when I started to join another weigh and pay, another diet, in the idea that, you know, I would lose some weight. And I immediately went out and bought a box of donuts. You know, that makes a lot of sense, right? So at that point, my best reason was to say, I'm going to Overeaters Anonymous. I don't know what it is. I don't know about it. I'm brand new in 12-step programs with another one I just started, but I'm going. And when I went, that was the best thing, because I was home. That was home for me. And I found now with working the steps with the years I've been in, that my best reason now is to say, okay, God, this is yours. You know, this is trying to do it with anything, you know, to guide me. I feel overwhelmed with how much I have to do. So what is God's priority for today, et cetera, et cetera? How do I get out of this particular issue that's happening to me? And all of that over time has told me that my best reason is to not trust my best reason, you know, not trust that self-reliance, that idea gets me into trouble. So I just more and more have learned to trust my higher power in everything. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ramona A. Up next, we have Nancy. Nancy, go right ahead.
Hi. I didn't realize that was up next. Thank you. Nancy R., recovering compulsive from Illinois. So my best reasoning this morning is telling me that I should go binge. Oof. So the next thought, which I believe is from God, was to share on this meeting, because
Nancy, I think we lost you. Nancy, you cannot be heard. I'm sorry we lost you, Nancy. I'm glad that you're here this morning for the meeting. Abby D., would you like to go ahead?
Hi. Yes, thank you, Jen. This is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Michigan, and grateful to share on the line today. What this paragraph reminds me of is, like, I can make my own decisions, but if I am guided by the principles, like spiritual principles, and if I ask God, like each day in morning meditation, to guide my thinking and to guide me throughout the day, and if I live in a way that I'm asking God to guide my thoughts, my decisions, my actions, then when I use my brain, then it's aligned with those spiritual principles, and I can make decisions that are in alignment with that. And if I'm living in alignment with this program, then I'm making decisions based on that I'm not going to cause harm to people, that I'm not acting in self-centered ways, that I'm not being guided by like my own selfish motives. And so yes, God gives us brains to use, and like I can use my own brain, but I can't reason my way out of this disease. There's no way that I could think my way out of compulsive eating. I mean, with all the willpower on the entire planet, I couldn't. But once I have God guiding my life and I'm recovered and neutral and through the steps and continue to live in the steps each day, like, kind of like God's not going to tell me exactly what to do, but God will give me like the character traits to embody and how to live my life. And then I can make decisions that are in alignment with those principles. It also brought to mind like talking to sponsees and like me having a sponsor, like my sponsor can't tell me exactly what to do, or I can't tell my sponsees exactly what to do, but I can guide them to spiritual practices that will give them guidance on how to find the answer. And so yeah, I can't trust in my own reason without God, but when I'm in alignment with God and the principles of the program and working the steps, then I can trust my own thinking and I can like rely on my brain to make decisions. So that's all. I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Abby D. She's from Michigan. Let's see where we're at. So we're at our time, and thank you everyone who shared. Thank you for everyone who was here with us this morning, just listening, if participating. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Grab your pen and paper. Here's your share ID for today. The share ID for Wednesday, July 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 23,676. That's 23676. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Maura Z., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Jen. Maura Z., gratefully recovered in Virginia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.